వక్రతుండ మహాకాయ సూర్యకోటి సమప్రభ నిర్విఘ్నం కురు మే దేవ సర్వకార్యషు సర్వదా. శివశక్త్యా యుక్తో యది భవతి శక్తః ప్రభవితుం న చేదేవం దేవో న ఖలు కుశలః స్పందితుమపి. అత స్వామారాధ్యా హరిహర విరించాదిభిరపి ప్రణంతుం స్తోతుం వా కతమకృత పుణ్యః ప్రభవతి.
Shri Sai Ram. At the outset, my most loving and prayerful salutations at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, Shri Satya Sai Baba. Dear listener, you are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony on Asia Stream, bringing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the love and the message of Bhagwan, Shri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning. Greetings and loving Sai Ram on this Thursday on the 16th of April 2020. And with me Team Radio Sai, Sunil, welcoming you to this morning segment, Divine Glory, on Thursday Live from Prashanti Nilayam. Let me now read out to you today's Sai Inspires message. What is the cause of all worries? Bhagwan lovingly explains and also reiterates how and why we should never entertain worry, and I quote, "All of you are the embodiments of love and divinity. All that has to happen will happen. Do not worry about it. Past is past. Forget the past. Future is uncertain. Do not brood over it. Present is important. Live in the present and be happy. Do not worry about the past and future. Where is the past? Many people have passed away. Have any one of them come back? None. Similarly, we do not know anything about the future. Why should we worry about it? Seek happiness in the present. When you have such an attitude, you will never worry about anything in life. What is the shape of worry? It is a mentally created fear. We should never worry. Hurry, worry and curry are the causes of heart diseases. You should therefore avoid hurry, worry and curry. A true devotee will not have any worries. You cannot call yourself a true devotee if you are beset with worries." Unquote. This was taken from a divine discourse delivered by Bhagwan on April 14th, 2006. Dear listener, today the world is gripped in the fear, suffering and deaths caused by the spread of the coronavirus or the COVID-19. Let us not panic, and let alone panic, let us not even worry. That's what Swami has told us just now. But let us take all the precautions mandated by the government and the health department, like social distancing and self-quarantining, and also maintain purity, like personal and community hygiene. And also, let us all engage in collective prayers for the world, sitting at our own places, and in mitigating the pain and suffering caused by the spread of the COVID-19, we'll also be having collective prayers for global well-being, titled Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah. Do also join us in these online prayer sessions by tuning into this Asia Stream or Radio Sai YouTube channel or Satya Sai Baba Facebook page today at 10:30 a.m. and also in the evening at 6:45 p.m. Indian Standard Time. The time right now in our studios is 48 minutes past 9 a.m. that is Indian Standard Time. And today in Divine Glory, I've lined up for you readings from the English version of the holy book Sri Sai Satcharitra, written by Sri Hemant Pant, followed by some bhajans. Later at 10:30, we'll be having the collective prayers for global well-being, titled Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah. First, readings from Sri Sai Satcharitra. Sri Sai Satcharitra is an account on the life and teachings of Sai Baba of Shirdi, written by Sri Hemant Pant. We are thankful to Vasanti Sundaram for reading out the contents from this holy book and to Veeramani Kannan for the melodious musical support. Wishing you all a happy and blessed Thursday and a wonderful day ahead. Also praying to Lord Almighty that the pandemic caused by the coronavirus be eradicated and all the suffering come to an end at the earliest. Samasta lokah sukhino bhavantu.
Now we come to our main story. Mr. Sate. There was a gentleman named Mr. Sate who had attained some publicity many years ago during Crawford regime, which was put down by Lord Rie, the governor of Mumbai. He suffered severe losses in trade. Other adverse circumstances gave him much trouble and made him sad and dejected. Being restless, he thought of leaving home and going out to a distant place. Man does not generally think of God, but when difficulties and calamities overtake him, he turns to him and prays for relief. If his demerits have come to an end, God arranges his meeting with a saint who gives him proper directions regarding his welfare. Mr. Sate had similar experience. His friends advised him to go to Shirdi, where so many people were flocking to get Sai Baba's darshan for peace of mind and the satisfaction of their wants. He liked the idea and at once came to Shirdi in 1917. Seeing Baba's form, which was like eternal Brahma, self-luminous, peerless and pure, his mind lost its restlessness and became calm and composed. He thought it was the accumulation of merits in his former births that brought him to the holy feet of Baba. He was a man of strong will. He at once started making a parayan of Guru Charitra. When the reading was finished in the Sapta or 7 days, Baba gave him a vision that night. It was to this effect. Baba, with Guru Charitra in his hand, was explaining its contents to Mr. Sate, who was sitting in front and listening carefully. When he woke up, he remembered the dream and felt very happy. He thought it was extremely kind of Baba, who awakens souls like his that are snoring in ignorance and makes them taste the nectar of Guru Charitra. Next day, he informed Kaka Sahib Dikshit of this vision and requested him to consult Sai Baba regarding its meaning or significance, whether one Sapta reading was sufficient or whether he should begin again. Kaka Sahib Dikshit, when he got a suitable opportunity, asked Baba, "Deva, what did you suggest to Mr. Sate by this vision? Whether he should stop or continue the Sapta?" "He is a simple devotee. His desire should be fulfilled." Then Baba replied, "He should make one more Sapta of the book. If the work be studied carefully, the devotee will become pure and will be benefited. The Lord will be pleased and will rescue him from the bondage of the mundane existence. At this time, Hemant Pant was present there. He was shampooing Baba's legs. When he heard Baba's word, he thought in his mind, "What? Mr. Sathe read for a week only and got a reward, and I am reading it for 40 years with no result? His 7 days stay here becomes fruitful, while my 7 years stay goes for nothing? Like a chatak bird, I am ever waiting for the merciful cloud to pour its nectar on me and bless me with his instruction." No sooner did this thought cross his mind, Baba knew it then and there. It was the experience of the bhaktas that Baba understood all their thoughts, and that he suppressed the evil thoughts and encouraged the good ones. Reading Hemant Pant's mind, Baba at once asked him to get up, go to Shama and get from him 15 rupees as dakshina, sit and chit-chat with him for a while and then return. Mercy dawned in Baba's mind, and so he issued this order. And who could disobey Baba's order? Hemant Pant immediately left the masjid and came to Shama's house. He had just bathed and was wearing a dhotar. He came out and asked Hemant Pant, "How is it that you are here now? It seems you have come from the masjid. Why do you look so restless and dejected? Why are you alone? Please sit and rest, while I shall do my worship and return. In the meanwhile, you please take Pan Bira and let us have a pleasant chat." After saying this, he went inside, and Hemant Pant sat alone in the veranda. He saw in the window a well-known Marathi book named Nath Bhagwat. This is a commentary by the saint Eknath on the 11th skanda of the bigger Sanskrit work, the Bhagwat. At the suggestion or recommendation of Sai Baba, Messrs. Babu Sahib Jog and Kaka Sahib Dikshit read Bhagavad Gita daily with its Marathi commentary named Bhavartha Deepika or Dhyaneshwari. This is a dialogue between Krishna and his friend devotee Arjun. And Nath Bhagwat, which is a dialogue between Krishna and his servant devotee Uddhav, and also Eknath's other big work Bhavartha Ramayana. When devotees came to Baba and asked him certain questions, he sometimes answered them in part and asked them to go and listen to the readings of the above-mentioned works, which are the main treatises of Bhagavad Dharma. When the devotees went and listened, they got full and satisfactory replies to their questions. Hemant Pant also used to daily read some portions of Nath Bhagwat. That day, he did not complete the daily portion of his reading, but had left it unfinished in order to accompany certain devotees who were going to the masjid. When he took up the book from Shama's window and casually opened it, he found to his surprise that the unfinished portion opened up. He thought Baba had sent him very kindly to Shama's house for helping him to complete his daily reading. So he went through the unfinished portion and completed it. As soon as this was over, Shama, after doing his worship, came out, and the following conversation took place between them. Hemant Pant, I have come with a message from Baba. He has asked me to return with 15 rupees as dakshina from you, and to sit with you for a while and have a pleasant chit-chat and then return to the masjid with you. Shama asks with surprise, I have no money to give. Take my 15 namaskars instead of the rupees as dakshina for Baba. Hemant Pant, all right, your namaskars are accepted. Now, let us have some chit-chat. Tell me some stories and leelas of Baba which will destroy our sins. Shama, sit here for a while. Wonderful is the sport of this god. You know it already. I am a village rustic, while you are an enlightened citizen. You have seen some more leelas since your coming over here. How should I describe them before you? Well, take these leaves, betel nut and chuna, and have the pan bira, while I go in, dress myself and come out. In a few minutes, Shama came out and sat talking with Hemant Pant. He said, the leelas of this Baba is inscrutable. There is no end to his leelas. Who can see them? He plays or sports with his leelas. Still, he is beyond them. What do we rustics know? Why does not Baba himself tell us these stories? Why does he send learned men like you to fools like me? His ways are inconceivable. I can only say they are not human. With this preface, Shama added, I now remember a story which I shall relate to you. I know it personally. As a devotee is resolute and determined, so is Baba's immediate response. Sometimes Baba puts the devotees to severe test and then gives them Upadesh. As soon as Hemat Pant heard the word Upadesh, as if a flash of lightning crossed through his mind, he at once remembered the story of Mr. Sati's Guru Charitra reading and thought Baba might have sent him to Shama in order to give peace to his restless mind. However, he curbed this feeling and began to listen to Shama's stories. They all showed how kind and affectionate Baba was to his devotees. Hemat Pant began to feel joy on hearing all of these. Then Shama began to tell the following story. Mrs. Radhabai Deshmukh. There was an old woman by name Radhabai. She was a mother of one Kashyap Deshmukh. Hearing Baba's fame, she came to Shirdi with the people of Sangamnir. She took Baba's darshan and was much satisfied. She loved Baba intimately and resolved in her mind that she should accept Baba as her guru and take some Upadesh from him. She decided to fast herself unto death so long as Baba did not accept her and give her any Upadesh or mantra. She stayed in her lodging and stopped taking any food or water for 3 days. I was frightened by these ordeal of this old woman and interceded with Baba on her behalf. I said, Deva, what is this you have started? You draw so many persons here. You know this old lady. She is very obstinate and depends on you. She has resolved to fast unto death, and if you don't accept and instruct her, if anything worse happens, people will blame you and say that Baba did not instruct her, and in its consequence, she met her death. That's what people will say. So take some mercy on her, bless her and instruct her. On seeing her determination, Baba sent for her and made her change her mind by addressing as follows. O mother, why do you have to subject yourself to unnecessary tortures? You are my mother and I am your child. Take pity on me and hear me through. I tell you my own story, which if you listen carefully will do you good. I had a guru. He was a great saint and most merciful. I served him long, very long. Still, he would not blow any mantra into my ears. I had keen desire never to leave him, but to stay with him and serve him, and at all costs receive some instructions from him. But he had his own way. He first got my head shaved and asked me for 2 paise as dakshina. I gave the same at once. You may say that as my guru was perfect, why should he ask me for money and how should he be called desireless? The reply is that he never cared for coins. What had he to do with them? His 2 paise were firm, faith and patience. I gave these 2 paise to him and he was very pleased. I resorted to my guru for 12 years. He brought me up. There was no dearth of food and clothing. He was full of love, and he was love incarnate. How was I to describe it? He loved me most. Rare is a guru like him. When I looked at him, he seemed as if he was in deep meditation. And then, we both were filled with bliss. Night and day I gazed at him with no thought of hunger and thirst. Without him, I felt restless. I had no other subject to meditate, nor any other thing than my guru to attend. He was my sole refuge. My mind was always fixed on him. This nishtha or firm faith is 1 paise of dakshina. Saburi, which is patience, is the other paise. I waited patiently and served my guru. This saburi will ferry you across the sea of this mundane existence. Saburi removes all sins and afflictions, gets rid of calamities in various ways, and casts aside all fear and ultimately gives you success. Saburi is a mine of virtues, consort of good thought. My guru never expected any other thing from me. He never neglected me, but protected me at all times. I lived with him and was sometimes away from him. Still, I never felt the absence of his love. He always protected me by his glance, just as a tortoise feeds her young ones, whether they are near her or away from on the other side of the bank, with her loving glances. O mother, my guru never taught me any mantra, then how shall I blow any mantra into your ears? Just remember that guru's tortoise-like loving glance gives us happiness. Do not try to get mantra or updesh from anybody. Make me the sole object of your thoughts and actions, and you will no doubt attain paramartha. Look at me wholeheartedly, and I in turn will look at you. Sitting in this masjid, I speak the truth, nothing but the truth. No sadhana or proficiency in the six shastras is necessary. Have faith and confidence in your guru. Believe that the guru is the sole actor or doer. Blessed is he who knows the greatness of his guru and thinks himself to be Hari, Hara and Brahma incarnate. Instructed in this way, the old lady was convinced. She bowed to Baba and gave up her fast. Hearing this story carefully and attentively and marking its significance and appropriateness, Hemad Pant was most agreeably surprised. On seeing this wonderful leela of Baba, he was moved from top to toe. He was overflowing with joy, his throat was choked, and he was not able to utter a single word. Shama, on seeing him in this condition, asked him, "What is the matter with you? Why are you silent?" How innumerable leelas of Baba shall I describe? Just at this time, the bell in the masjid began to ring, proclaiming that the noon worship and aarti ceremony had begun. Therefore, Shama and Hemad Pant hurried to the masjid. Bapu Sahib Jog had just started the worship. Women were up in the masjid and men were standing below in the open courtyard, and they were all singing the aarti in chorus to the accompaniment of drums. Shama went up, pulling Hemad Pant with him. He sat to the right and Hemad Pant in front of Baba. On seeing them, Baba asked Hemad Pant to give the dakshina brought from Shama. He replied that Shama gave namaskars instead of rupees and that he was there in person. Baba said, "All right. Now let me know whether you both had a chit-chat, and if so, tell me all that you talked about." Not minding the sounds of the bell, the drum and the chorus songs, Hemad Pant was eager to tell what they had talked and started to narrate it. Baba was also anxious to hear, and so he left the bolster and leaned forward. Hemad Pant said all that they talked about was very pleasant, especially the story of the old lady was the most wonderful, and that on hearing it, he thought that his leela was inexplicable, and under the guise of that story, he really blessed him. Baba then said, "Wonderful is that story. How were you blessed? I would like to know everything in detail from you, so tell me all about it." Then Hemad Pant related in full the story which he had heard a little while before and which had made a lasting impression on his mind. Hearing this, Baba was much pleased and asked him, "Did the story strike you and did you catch its significance?" Hemad Pant replied, "Yes, Baba. The restlessness of my mind has vanished, and I have got true peace and rest and come to know the true path." Then Baba spoke as follows, "My method is quite unique. Remember well, this is one story and it will be very useful. To get the knowledge of the self, dhyan is necessary. If you practice it continuously, the vrittis or subtle thoughts will be pacified. Being quite desireless, you should meditate on God, who is in all the creatures, and when the mind is concentrated, the goal will be achieved. Meditate always on my formless nature, which is knowledge incarnate, consciousness and bliss. If you cannot do this, meditate on my form from top to toe, as you see here night and day. As you go on doing this, your vrittis will be single-pointed, and the distinction between the dhyata, meditator, dhyana, act of meditation, and dhyaya, object meditated upon, will be lost, and the meditator will be one with the consciousness and be merged in the Brahma. The mother or the tortoise is on one bank of the river and her young ones are on the other. She gives neither milk nor warmth to them. Her mere loving glance gives them nutrition. The young ones do nothing but remember or meditate upon their mother. The tortoise glance is to the young ones the only source of sustenance and happiness. Similar is the relation between the guru and the disciples. When Baba uttered these words, the chorus of the aarti songs was over and all cried out loudly in unison, "Victory be to our Sadguru Sai Maharaj, who is pure consciousness, knowledge and bliss." Dear readers, let us imagine that we are at this time standing amongst the crowd in the masjid, and let us join them in this Jai Jaikar. After this aarti ceremony was over, prasad was distributed. Bapu Sahib Jo came forward as usual and, after saluting Baba, gave into his palm a handful of sugar candy. Baba pushed all this into the hands of Hemad Pant and said to him, "If you take this story to heart and remember it well, your state will be sweet as a sugar candy. All your desires will be fulfilled and you will be happy." Hemad Pant bowed down to Baba and implored, "Do favor me like this. Bless and protect me always." Baba replied, "Hear this story, meditate on it and assimilate its spirit. Then you will always remember and meditate on the Lord who will manifest himself to you." Dear readers, Hemad Pant got prasad of sugar candy and we now get the prasad of sugar candy of this story. Let us drink it to our heart's content, meditate on it and assimilate it, and be strong and happy by Baba's grace. Towards the end of the 19th chapter, Hemad Pant had dealt with some other matters which are given below. Baba's advice regarding our behavior. The following words of Baba are of general welfare and invaluable. If they are kept in mind and acted upon, they will always do you good. Baba said, "Unless there is some relationship or connection, nobody goes anywhere. If any men or creatures come to you, do not drive them away, but receive them well and treat them with due respect. Sri Hari will be certainly pleased if you give water to the thirsty, bread to the hungry, clothes to the naked, and your veranda to strangers for resting. If anybody wants any money from you and you are not inclined to give, do not give, but do not bark at him like a dog. Let anybody speak hundreds of things against you, do not resent by giving any bitter reply. If you tolerate such things, you will certainly be happy. Let the world go topsy-turvy. You remain where you are. Standing in your place, look on calmly at the show of all things passing before you. Demolish the wall of difference that separates you from me, and then the road for our meeting will be clear and open. The sense of differentiation as I and thou is the barrier that keeps away the disciple from his master, and unless that is destroyed, the state of union is not possible. Allah Malik, God is the sole proprietor, nobody else is the protector. His method of work is extraordinary, invaluable and inscrutable. His will be done and he will show us the way and satisfy our heart's desires." It is on account of Rinanubandh, former relationship, that we have come together. Let us love and serve each other and be happy. He who attains the supreme goal of life is immortal and happy. All others merely exist and live as long as they breathe. Encouraging good thoughts to fruition. It is interesting to note how Sai Baba encouraged good thoughts. You have to surrender yourself completely to him with love and devotion, and then you will see how he helps you throughout. Some saint has said that when you get a good thought immediately after awakening from sleep, and if you develop the same afterwards during the day, your intellect will be unfolded and your mind will attain calmness. Hemad Pant wanted to try this. On one Wednesday night before going to bed, he thought, "Tomorrow is Thursday, an auspicious day, and the place Shirdi is so holy. So let me pass the whole day in remembering and celebrating the Ram Nam." And then he slept off. Next morning when he got up, he remembered without any effort the name of Ram and was much pleased. He then, after finishing his morning duties, went to see Baba with flowers. When he left Dixit Wada and was passing by Buti Wada, he heard a beautiful song that was sung in front of Baba. The song was "Guru Kripanjan Payo Mere Bhai" by Eknath, in which he says that he got collyrium in the form of his guru's grace, which opened his vision and made him see Ram in and out, in sleep, dream and waking state and everywhere. There were so many songs, but why was this song particularly chosen? Is this not a curious coincidence arranged by Baba to amplify the determination of Hemadpan to sing unceasingly Ram Nam during the day? All saints agree and lay stress upon the efficacy of uttering Ram's name in fulfilling the ambitions of the Bhaktas and in protecting and saving them from all calamities. Variety in Updesh, slanderer condemned. Sai Baba required no special place nor any special time for giving instructions. Whenever an occasion demanded, he gave them freely. Once it so happened that a bhakta of Baba reviled someone behind his back before other people. On leaving aside merits, he dwelt on the faults of his brother and spoke sarcastically that the hearers were disgusted. Generally, we see people have a tendency to scandalize others unnecessarily, and this brings on ill feelings. Saints see scandal in another light. They say there are various ways of cleansing or removing dirt by means of water and soap, but a scandal monger has got a way of his own. He removes the dirt of others by his tongue. So in a way, he obliges the person whom he reviles, and for this, he is to be thanked. Sai Baba had his own method of correcting the scandal monger. He knew by his omniscience what the slanderer had done, and when he met him at noon near the Lendi, Baba pointed out to him a pig that was eating filth near the fence and said to him, "Behold, how with what relish it is gulping filth. Your conduct is similar. You go on reviling your own brother to your heart's content. After performing many deeds of merit, you are born as a human. And if you act like this, how can Shirdi help you in any way?" Needless to say, the Bhakta took the lesson to his heart and went away. In this way, Baba went on giving instructions wherever necessary. If these are born in our minds and acted upon, the spiritual goal is not far off. There is a proverb which says, "If there be my Hari, he will feed me on my cot." This proverb is only true in respect of food and clothing. But if anyone believing this sits idle and does nothing in spiritual matters, he will be ruined. One has to exert himself to his utmost for attaining self-realization. The more he endeavors, the better for him.
to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live.
हृदय भरो
ब्रह्मानंद से हृदय भरो
सद्गुरु ब्रह्म सनातन हे सद्गुरु ब्रह्म सनातन हे परम दया घन पावन हे परम दया घन पावन जन्म ज दुख विनाशन हे जन्म ज दुख विनाशन हे
तारण है
बात नहीं।